Welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews. I am your host, Chris Lukianenko, and I scour this big brand land of ours, looking under fermenters and behind mash tuns to find the best beer stories to share with you. The Beer Healer Interviews is now available on all major podcast services. If you like the show and want to help out, can I ask you to simply rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast service? Just leave a few words and a rating and the podcast gods will do the rest. By doing this, you'll help others to discover the show more easily and hopefully get more people interested in this great industry that we call craft beer. So it seems that the beer lovers of Western Australia really love their beer. I reached out to my listeners recently and asked them what they wanted to hear about, and the resounding cry that came back, message loud and clear, was WA breweries. We want to know more about the breweries and the people behind them. This brings me to my guest today. His name is Reece Whedon, and he's the founder of an urban brewery in West Australia called Nowhere Man. Reece was once the director of WA Beer Week, but about 3 years ago, he jumped into the craft beer game even deeper and opened up Nowhere Man. Nowhere Man is not your basic brew pub. There are a lot of intricate details that go into the makeup of the overall experience for their clientele. I can't do it justice in the opener. So welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews, Reece Whedon.
Hello.
Thanks for joining me, mate. It's great to have you on here.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
No dramas. Mate, tell us a little bit about your time as director of WA Beer Week.
So I sort of jumped into that role, a long time ago. And when I started, it was pretty good. They were running probably 3 to 4 events in the week, mostly focused on the industry and keeping interstate judges entertained during the Perth Royal Beer Show judging. So it was a good little model. I took over, kept that model for a year and expanded out maybe 2 events, and discovered that basically everyone was actually getting pretty exhausted judging. And didn't necessarily want to come out as much anymore. So started pushing a lot more public outgoing events, a lot more non-traditional beer venues. And, yeah, I think we expanded out into like 15 my second year, and then I think 60-odd after that. And then I think I peaked at 80 and then pulled it back.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it was a good experience. It was a lot of fun, I'm assuming, in being involved.
It was lots of fun. It was really, really good. I tried to retire several times and got the hard word put on me. A few awkward conversations. People were like, can you just stick around? And luckily I had a day job that was similar enough in nature that it was basically me keeping my finger on the pulse of, marketing and promotions and events. And I was running a team that were doing that in my day job. So I could kind of say, well, look, I'm doing this extracurricular activity. So you guys can't say as a manager, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
So what was your regular day job back then?
So I worked at Curtin Uni for almost a decade, basically running student engagement and experience, so marketing and events for the student union there.
Nice. And so 6 years or so later, it was just time to hand the reins over to someone new. You finally got your way. You were able to exit the building, so to speak.
We were working on the brewery project for quite some time. My wife and I kind of made the call a very long time ago now that we were like, oh, yeah, we want to – I was keen on a bar, and then sort of life got in the way. I really enjoyed my job, so it got put very much on the back burner. And then when Swan Brewery closed, it really opened my eyes as well. There's a lot of great people who are now out of work in WA. Be great to try to work with some of them.
Yeah, good point.
In my great idea, I'm like, awesome. And then it's like, oh, yeah, 5 years later, I actually opened. I obviously thought things would be a lot more instantaneous. I'd originally kind of thought of being a lot more hands-off, and it ended up being not hands-off at all. And, yeah, 5 years or over 5 years from concept to open.
Nowhere Man was born. And, look, for those not familiar with the city of Perth, how would you explain the location of the warehouse that you selected to be the home for Nowhere Man?
In a weird little inner city semi-industrial pocket.
Okay.
that's only about two blocks wide.
It's almost like the inner west of Sydney, but in Perth.
Yeah, inner west of Sydney, even sort of, I suppose, bits of the back streets of Collingwood and Fitzroy, except they've got the joy of a lot more population density. where we are, we've got not particularly great density where we are. It's there's a lot of stuff in planning. So definitely like 10 years' time, we'll probably have a couple of thousand more people. But right now we are just surrounded by office buildings and kind of warehouses converted to kind of cheap offices.
One of the descriptions I read of how to get to your brewery was, it's just a 7-minute BMX ride from the city. That was awesome.
Yep, and that is actually measured by me on a BMX using Strava. So it's a proper tracked ride.
I love it. I love it. You're sort of within the vicinity for a bit of a walk after a footy game at the new stadium too, aren't you? Is that going
to
work?
No, we used to be near the old stadium.
Oh, the Subiaco was closer, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we were very close to Subi. But where we are, we have free parking on the weekends.
Okay.
So we actually find a lot of people park near the brewery, jump a train, which is we're right next to the train station, and the train is direct from our station to the stadium.
Oh.
So it's actually super quick for people to do that. So
that works. Yeah, nice.
We somehow have more football traffic now than we did when the stadium was right on our doorstep. but I think that's because everyone had their traditional watering holes that they went to. They didn't deviate from it. And now a new stadium, completely new ball game for where people go before and after games.
So I guess you're a bit of an early adopter of the area. What attracted you to go there?
It's fairly hard finding, X 100 square metres of semi-industrial space that can house a brewery but also have enough sort of foot traffic or people or entertainment precincts nearby to warrant a customer-facing side, a brew pub. So we narrowed it down to about two suburbs, which basically bookend Perth, and this one just had the most real estate popping up, had gas, had water. Landlord's willing to let me do what I wanted with the building. So
nice.
Worked quite well.
Did I read correctly somewhere this week that you had these grand plans of all this urban planning to, really transform the entire area, not just put a brew pub in?
No.
I don't know what I was reading then.
There's definitely a redevelopment plan for the area that's been shelved.
Oh, has it? Right.
Yeah, and so that was a big part of us choosing where we were going.
Okay.
Our two preferred precincts both had very good redevelopment plans. Both have since been shelved completely. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. That must have been what I read there, because in my head I was thinking maybe it might turn out to be something similar to, Tenerife where Green Beacon is and how that's all sort of been redeveloped around old warehouses and all that sort of stuff, and it's now just this vibrant beer mecca. We've got their beer in your trial.
We would love that because, we've got Besk, which is a new sort of craft beer and wine bar and bottle shop, just opened up about a kilometre away from us, also in West Leederville. And we're, I suppose, the first new big things in the area. So we're hoping to be the start of something bigger.
Yep.
But we'll see.
Okay. So you're going out on your own, pretty bloody bold move, really, considering what you've just said about the plans being shelved for the developments around there. And I guess in doing so, you needed a bold brand to go with. I'm just wondering, where did the idea for the branding come from? I really like it, and I'm only assuming that it's a bit of a mash of a man's face with a hop kind of look to it. Feels to me pretty edgy, pretty sort of street. I don't want to sound like a wanker, but am I sort of on the right track?
You sure are. It is a hop and a face, utilizing a bit of stencil art. It's meant to be quite bold. When we first painted it on our roller door, I was staring at it feeling almost intimidated as it was staring me down. But we went to
a tribal, perhaps even. Was it?
Yes, it does have some tribal iterations. But yeah, we went to Zendoik Design, who back when we went to them, we were their first ever beer client. They'd just done Whippersnapper Distillery, and I was in love with that. Yep. And one of my favorite music festivals over here, Breakfest.
Yep.
So went to him, loved his work. Since doing our original branding, he's now done Nails rebrand, all of Boston Brewing, at least three or four more.
Doing good work, obviously.
He's doing a lot of good work in the beer scene, yeah. Yes.
Well, for what it's worth, he's got the Beer Healer's tick of approval.
Oh, good.
So, mate, what about back on the venue itself? Tell us about the brew house that you put in. What are the specs for the nerds?
We put in a 18-heck direct-fired Premier Stainless kit out of San Diego.
Cool. And what about tanks and stuff?
Tanks, yep. We've got enough room for about 18,000 litres in ferment at any given time.
So did you get it right from the start with the kit and all of that, or is there maybe space to add a bigger brew house or a canning line or more fermenters? It seems to be the logical next step most of the time.
Look, I thought I'd nailed it. naturally, no one does. We'd originally... planned on bright tanks as serving tanks.
Okay, yep.
But the layout of a venue doesn't really facilitate it. It's a real pain. So we dumped that idea and now we just use a whole bunch of baby bright tanks, which is its own little pain, but still better than the serving tank concept. And then we've got... it's direct fired, not steam. Basically, when we were first speccing out the kit, we weren't sure on our ability to put in a boiler. So we just said, no, well, let's just go direct fire, more flexible. But that increases length of time to make get the beer to boil,
yep,
versus steam. So extends a double brew day. And then electric hot liquor tank, which... takes forever to heat up our hot water. And as all brewers will tell you, you can never have enough hot water.
Yeah, yep.
So now we're like, well, we're looking potentially at a new hot liquor tank, which is a bit of a pain only a couple of years in, but is what it is. And then we also had a whole bunch of water issues anyway, so it's probably good to get rid of a hot liquor tank because it copped a bit of a beating from boiling a lot of really hard Perth water.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Look, the brew pub model seems to be the one that makes the most sense in the current market for a lot of new breweries. What advice would you give to others looking to follow in your footsteps?
Understand you're building a hospitality venue, not a brewery.
Yeah, that's good.
It's one of those things. It's like, oh, yeah, been homebrewing for years. I'm going to open this brewery / bar, but never been in hospitality, never done hospitality side of, say, cost of goods or staff interaction. It is a completely different game. And we, I suppose my passion on the side of things, the side of a business I actively work in, is the hospitality side. I stay out of the way of the head brewer. He's excellent at what he does, and I deal with the hospitality side. And that's so it's important you, I suppose, surround yourself with people who know stuff you don't.
Yeah.
So for me, that was brewing. And for, say, any brewers looking to do a brew pub, it would be a hospitality manager, bar manager, venue manager.
It's management 101, isn't it? Surround yourself with people that have complementary skills.
Yep, and always assume that your skills are far lower than what you think they are.
They are. I like that. Yeah. That is awesome.
Always find people are always going to be better at you. When you're higher up, people are usually better than you because they're focusing on one thing at any given time.
Yep.
You're focusing on a dozen.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
So, you know, don't feel afraid to employ someone that's significantly more experienced or better than you because they will make your business work.
And what about one thing that you would change from the way you put that kit in? Is there anything at all? Other than maybe this new liquor tank you put in, or would you maybe have gone for the other version in terms of the steam?
Steam probably would have been my main change. Yep. Although, to be honest, again, we're very tight on space, so fitting in a boiler, not the easiest thing in the world.
Yep.
But probably still would have that'd be my main change, and then just slightly rejigged layout of the whole venue.
Yep. Yep.
You know, you strip a warehouse down to nothing, you build up a bunch of walls, and then 3 years later it's like, oh, what was I thinking putting that wall there?
I'm hearing you. I've been living in this house of mine for 20 years, and just this last few months we knocked out two major walls in the kitchen, dining, living room. Because we thought it was time. But it took us minutes to get there.
Yeah, we've got a whole bunch of renovations planned on the hospo side, which is good, mostly to we're a big open space. I suppose we're trying to almost open it up even more.
Yep.
So, but more to outside.
Yep. No plans for a canning line to be squeezed in anywhere, or not enough space?
It was always very much on our radar, and we've had the mobile line in a couple of times now, and it's very difficult for us to fit, one, the line I want into the venue, and two, any line at all. Right. We've worked out we could fit something sort of a little bit more compact, but it's not. Yeah, it's still not exactly what we'd like.
So how does that discussion go down with the wife? Honey, we're going to move the brewery. I want to put it a canning line.
It's more like we got to try to find something, well, close enough to the brewery, because we don't really want to have to build a full second facility. It's like
just put it on a truck.
Trying to find something next door. Yeah, build our own mobile line. There's all these things we could look at. And I suppose it's more just keeping her across the conversations in the business. It's like we're growing constantly. So, you know, things are always in flux, but definitely, yeah, the packaging side is our major issue for the first 6 months of this year.
Yeah, look, I've heard nothing but good things about you guys, but I do have to apologise, because normally before I do these interviews, I like to at least try a few of the beers from the brewery. But being that I haven't been back in WA for about 7 years and I'm about as far away from you as I can get in terms of distributions, I haven't had the pleasure to try your beers. So can you give me a bit of a description as to how you set about creating your beer menu?
So I suppose these days we've got our core range locked down. So that was all about we have a lot of regulars. They're not necessarily super beery people. They're just people who like good beer. They're not necessarily always chasing that new thing. So for our, I suppose, core constant customer group, it's core range of lager, XPA, pale, and at the moment a mid. It's kind of in and out.
Yep.
And then on top of that, we just basically make all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
That we... because we obviously every now and then get bored of the core. Yep. Other venues want changing stuff. We've got a whole bunch of customers who will come in maybe once a month to really try all those new beers as well. So it's keeping everything fresh for them. Plus, again, even our regulars like to try new stuff every now and then. They'll have one or two slip back to the new to be old reliable. But it's, we come up with great ideas for our new beer.
I was looking at your range, and I thought it was really interesting that the lager was one of your early lead beers. And all I could think of was that maybe it was a deliberate ploy to sway Emu export drinkers to try your beers.
Definitely was, yep. It was wanting to just put out a good, crisp lager, nothing too crazy crafty, just good, well-made, easy drinking beer, which is not as easy to come by as people think.
No,
so,
exactly.
It's been a great one for us. It's tasting really banging at the moment. It's been real humid in Perth the last couple of weeks, and I've been drinking a lot of lager.
Nice. I'm coming back to lagers these days. Anytime I find one that's new, I'll pick it up and have a crack, because I don't know, sometimes it just just something easy, and you know, they're not an easy beer to make, though, really, you know, and to get it right, it takes a lot of skill. But sometimes just the simpleness of a lager, I'm just bloody loving right now. They're just great. They're awesome.
Oh yeah, I went to another brewery's event a couple of weeks back, and I noticed they had a draft which I'd never seen before, because they kind of don't push it many places. I'm like, oh, I'm getting that.
Nice. Like
straight after this sour IPA, I'm moving straight to that draft.
Nice.
And it was delicious.
Beautiful work. We were talking before about the designer for the brand. Is that the same artist that you use for all of your Tap Badge art? Because it's pretty cool and unique.
No. So Tap Badge art is different. So must have been about mid-2018, I started doing all our Tap Badge artwork myself.
Oh, that's you.
It's me for some of it.
Oh, okay.
And then as of October last year, we now pay a professional company to do all our new design artwork. So everything's a lot schmicker, more professional.
Who did the Too Fresh, Too Ridiculous with the classic 80s BMX bikes? Was that you?
No, that was the... That was the first one from the new company, Studio Pop-Up.
I think that's my favorite.
That's our favorite as well. So that's our second birthday beer. And that's Bikes represent Pia, our business development manager, myself, and Eddie, our head brewer, just smashing out BMXs, making great beers.
Yeah, I'm a kid of the 80s, so I had one of those BMXs and a. Shout out to Pia. G'day. Hope she's doing well. She's a great chick.
Absolutely. Excellent. She's been great for our business, that's for sure.
And you could not find someone more passionate for beer.
No, definitely not. She loves what she does, which is really good. And, also a lot of fun.
Yeah, she's a ripper. So we're talking about the beer that you've got in the tanks and sales thing. I was just wondering, like, being with the brew pub model that you try and sell as much as you can through the venue, What's the rough split to, you know, internal, external sales?
Like throughout the year, it changes wildly.
Okay.
Which sounds really weird, but obviously our venue has peaks and troughs.
Yes, yep.
The venues we sell to have peaks and troughs.
Yep.
And somehow they do not even slightly line up. We live in the same city. We can be a kilometer away and our seasons are opposite.
Fair enough. If you could have an ideal number that you would want it to average out to be across the year, would it be like, you'd rather have 70% internal or?
Oh, I don't think we'd even have the capacity to fill that many people in the venue.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, 50-50 is always what you really want.
Yep.
But we're very much these days far more off-site than on.
Okay. Yep. So if I read into that, does that mean there might be beer coming to Tasmania in cans someday soon, or are we just way too far away?
It might be too far away.
Yeah. I had some Cheeky Monkey for the first time this week. I was surprised to see that over here.
You've actually, if only we'd done this interview a couple of weeks ago, it actually dropped into Hobart for a weekend only 2 weeks ago.
Damn. That would have been great.
And I didn't take any beer with me because, unfortunately, I was flying over solo with a 10-month-old. So
there's no fun in that.
It was pack only her things.
Yeah, no, it's all right. So, look, from the outside looking in, the WA beer scene seems really, really cool. It's friendly. It seems inviting, like that everyone involved in the venues and the brews are all mates. I mean, I've seen the WA crew at the AIBAs and Good Beer Week events, and you guys look like you are absolutely loving it. Is it really like a big family?
I suppose. It's a big family in that, yeah, you've got members of your family you love, members of a family you see every now and then, members of family you tolerate.
You're not selling it to me.
Look, it's a bit controversial to say, but I know beer pushes itself as this big love-in.
Yep.
But, I mean, I wouldn't know probably 90% of people making beer in WA anymore because it's just too huge.
Oh, right. Okay.
The people I do know love. I have so much time in the world to go hang out at other people's breweries, drink other people's beers, good friends with lots of other people, crave to work with them. There are so many people doing so many great things.
Yep.
And you put us in a room, yeah, it's insane. I suppose back in the day, 10 years ago when I first entered the industry, I could pretty much name everyone.
Yep.
Every single person looking to open a brewery, with a brewery, I knew every single person. Fast forward 10 years, I know 10%.
Yeah, okay.
It's well, a huge change.
In some way, that's a great thing for the WA beer scene that it is growing so fast.
It is. It also shows that it'll become really unsociable.
you don't go out anymore.
Being stuck running a business. There's a lot of people I love that I haven't seen in a really long time.
Yeah. In doing some research this week, there was something I really, really liked about what you guys do in the community, and that is collaborate with venues on beers. I mean, not only is it a great way to engage those venues and pick up maybe a tap point or two, but it's also a really great way to give them a point of differentiation and maybe sell more of your beer. Has that been a strategy of yours from the start to get out into the community and get those people into the brewery and brew with them?
It's more a happy accident, I would say. We just had a couple of venues that we really liked working with, and so we did one. And then I suppose other venues are like, well... and so it's kind of rolled out from there now. So we do it with, I can't even remember how many venues we've got in the pipeline, quite a few. And it's, we do it people who obviously sell our beer already and like having fun.
Yep. So there actually is a waiting list, is there?
Oh, not quite a waiting list, but it's definitely something that, venues are definitely cottoning onto more and more and more. And it's incredibly good for the staff. They get to come in, have a really fun day, eat banh mi, which is our standard order for when we've got a collab day.
Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes smash some fruit, sometimes play with hops. There's usually an education component where we go through sort of a process plus our beers. And, all in all, they get a lot out of it. And
who's creating the recipes? Are you guys creating them and then sharing with them, or do you get some feedback from them? Hey, we've got this idea. What do you think about it? How does that work?
So our normal process for coming out with a beer is Pia, Eddie and I can come up with any idea. And any one of us has the power of veto, not democracy. Cool. It's just veto.
Yeah.
And then it's similar with a collaboration. It's the three of us plus this sort of fourth body all work together. They usually pitch a good idea. We work through them until it's something that will work for make sure it works with our brand, brew schedule. Because obviously, if it's like something barrel aged, we'd don't really have room for that, or if it's a lager, we've got to be like, well, okay, that's spending X amount of weeks in the tank versus, a short collab, which just spends it in and out of the tank. Make sure it's not too expensive so that they can actually sell it.
Yep.
Because obviously you don't want a $20 collab beer, $20 a pint, because that's not going to move at our venue or their venue. It's good. I mean, our first ever collab went so well that the bar team that were there all went out and got matching daiquiri tattoos afterwards. So,
oh, really? Oh, wow.
That's definitely so far the...
It's engagement for you.
It sure is.
And so what, you just split, half goes to the venue, half gets poured through the brew pub?
Yeah, pretty much. It's... Yeah. May not necessarily be an exact split, but that's pretty much the split.
Yeah, nice. It sounds like a fair bit of work to organise these collaborations, but as you say, it's a real great way to engage them, so maybe it's actually just worth it.
It's definitely a lot of work, a lot of back and forth. Our most recent collab we canned because it's a bar with a bottle shop, so we wanted to make sure could service that. That added a completely different side to it. So not only did we have collaborating on the brew and the recipe, which ended up being insanely easy because they were great to work with on that, we then had to come up with artwork for a can that represented both brands and showed...
Did you pull out your crayons once again?
I did not. We definitely paid someone for that one.
So how did you pitch that into the art team? Was that, again, the four of you sitting around giving ideas or?
No, our creative, the creative agency we use is really good. We pitched the name and which was Subterranean Session.
Yep.
And then they worked that into sort of a couple of different underground themes. I think in the end we went with like an Atlantis theme and then that just ended up being like a weird underground party with everything floating around and looking weird and
in a cool
a little
way.
Bit cold. Yeah. So it went through a lot. It's probably outside of our core range. It's definitely the one we've gone back and forth on for the most amount of art direction.
Oh, man, it sounds like so much fun that you're having over there. Is it really fun for you still?
It is still fun. It's exhausting and fun.
And, of course, you've got your third birthday coming up at some stage this year. How are you planning on celebrating that?
We will make some sort of stupid beer.
Fair enough.
Something much like Too Fresh, Too Ridiculous last year. It will be a reasonably over-the-top beer of a style to be determined. We usually throw two parties, one for all of our customers we love in the venue, and then another one for everyone we supply beer to. So
yep.
All the bar we sell to. A good hospo party never goes astray.
So you can't beat them, can you? They usually get pretty wild.
They sure do. so we'll be doing that, and then, I think that's end of July. So it's always a good one. It's great time of year to have a good indoor party.
And will every single person coming into the venue that night for the hospo party be having to sign a waiver perhaps, or a non-disclosure agreement?
No, they're definitely not quite that wild.
Not quite that wild. Okay, fair enough. Well, you're not doing it right, are you? Jeez.
I'll work on it. Maybe we'll hold it at someone else's venue to make it a little bit more
perfect.
Wild.
Perfect. Sounds great.
Stop me being the fun police.
So you'll get through your third birthday, and then what? What's on the horizon into the fourth year?
Well, we've got another summer coming in, so more growth again off-site. That's obviously when everyone picks up, particularly package products. So hopefully we'll have a lot more equipment in from middle of the year, and we'll be able to facilitate a bit more beer for next summer.
Fair enough. Keep it simple and
make more beer. We we put a lot into this summer just gone with a slight brand refresh on our beers, releasing cans. So I suppose it's building on what we've done in this year into our third year, well and truly. Yep. It's sticking to the course. We're a reasonably organic growing brewery. We don't push ourselves out there too hard. We're like, no, we make the amount of beer we can make. Don't overpromise and underdeliver. We usually underpromise and overdeliver, which I don't know. I find that a far nicer business model.
Yep. No, sounds
and
nice.
Yeah, just keep being good people, partnering with other good people.
Hopefully, keeping on having fun. Because at some stage, it'll become a bit of a business for you. But hopefully, that's a long way off on the horizon. When it's still fun.
I can assure you between the hours of 10 and 6 every day, it is very much a business. and then luckily I get let loose after 6 to still do a bit of hospo and just have that interaction with customers where I can switch off the spreadsheet brain and actually have nice conversations with people.
Sounds like a plan, which hopefully is what you've been doing with me here tonight. And mate, I do appreciate you taking the time with the time difference between us. It's a little bit challenging, but thanks, mate, for jumping on telling your story tonight. It sounds fantastic. I've got to get back over to WA at some stage, and when I do, I'm going to come and have a beer at Nowhere, man. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have an interesting beer story and want to be a guest on the Beer Healer interviews, send me a message via my Facebook page. And once again, if you want to help out the show, a simple rate and review on Apple Podcasts or a follow, like, or share on any other podcast service will do the trick. I'll catch you soon.